Here's a quick history quiz. What are these people famous for? Ernst Schmid, John Landy, John Cabot, Pete Conrad and Alan Bean, Elisha Gray, Joseph Swan, and Larry Doby. Take your time. How did you do? 8 out of 8? 7? 6? Maybe 3? 1? None? Well, if you got none, it's probably not surprising. Because these people are all famous for one thing. Placing second. The first name I mentioned was Ernst Schmid. He became the first Swiss man to reach the summit of the highest peak in the world, Mount Everest. He came home to Switzerland as a national hero, but hardly anyone outside of the Swiss remember him. That's because 3 years earlier, Sir Edmund Hillary from New Zealand became the first to reach the summit. Now, Australian John Landy was an amazing athlete. In fact, in 1954, he broke the world record for the mile run in 3 minutes 57 and 9/10 seconds, more than a second and a half under the previous record. Unfortunately, the previous record was set just 46 days earlier by Roger Bannister from England, who became the first person to run the mile in a time many considered impossible, under 4 minutes. Englishman John Cabot bravely sailed across the Atlantic Ocean for King Henry VII to become the first European to set foot on the North American continental mainland. Unfortunately for him, Christopher Columbus had discovered America 5 years earlier when he landed in the West Indies. Today, a statue of Christopher Columbus stands atop a 76-foot-tall gigantic column in New York City, overlooking one of the most famous intersections in the world. King Henry VII rewarded Cabot with permission to sail the voyage again. Now, Pete Conrad and Alan Bean may sound familiar to many Americans living during the space race of the 1960s and early 1970s, but they have never been as famous as the astronauts from Apollo 11. That's because they were part of the Apollo 12 mission and walked on the moon just 4 months after national heroes Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. Now, Elisha Gray just missed immortal fame as well. You see, Gray's attorney filed a patent for the same invention at the same patent office just 2 hours after Alexander Graham Bell filed for the telephone. Thomas Edison famously said that after 10,000 failed experiments, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. And he was famous because he invented a commercially viable carbon filament light bulb. Joseph Swan, a British physicist on the other hand, had already come up with a carbon filament bulb, but hadn't perfected it. Edison is world renowned. Joseph Swan, not so much. And finally, Larry Doby. Larry Doby is probably the most significant second in American sports history. Larry was born in Camden, South Carolina in 1923. He must have inherited his athletic prowess from his dad, who was a semi-pro baseball player. When Larry was only 8 years old, his father tragically drowned. Another unfortunate part of Larry's early years was the limited opportunities afforded to blacks living in the South. The schools in the North, unlike the South at the time, were integrated, which allowed greater opportunities. When he was 14, Larry moved with his mom to Paterson, New Jersey. There, he became a legend at Eastside High School. He wasn't just a teammate. He was a superstar. He earned 11 varsity letters in football, basketball, baseball, and track. After his sterling high school career, he was offered a basketball scholarship to play at Long Island University. In those times, it was virtually unheard of for a black man to be offered an athletic scholarship. Fewer than 10% of major colleges in the North had even one black player on the team. But Claire B., the coach at Long Island, was a pioneer in breaking the color barrier in college athletics. And history had a different path for Larry Doby. World War II soon broke out, and Larry's journey took another turn. He joined the United States Navy and served in the Pacific Theater. When the war ended, Larry's incredible athletic skills were quickly scooped up by the Newark Eagles of baseball's Negro League, where, not surprisingly, he became an immediate star. In his first year with the Eagles, he led them to the Negro League World Series championship. Larry's hard hitting and smooth play as a second baseman caught the eye of Bill Veeck, the owner of the Cleveland Indians baseball team. On July 5, 1947, Larry Doby became the first black player to put on a uniform of Major League Baseball's American League. But the sports headlines of the day were more focused on something that happened just 11 weeks before. Jackie Robinson was the first black player in Major League Baseball as a member of the National League's Brooklyn Dodgers. Larry's story took a back seat to Jackie Robinson breaking baseball's color barrier. The difficulties of Jackie Robinson's journey are well documented. He faced racial discrimination both on and off the baseball diamond. But Larry Doby faced just as much, if not more, discrimination in the conservative American League. Initially, even his own teammates gave him the cold shoulder. Taunts from fans and players from opposing teams were commonplace. During one game, Larry slid into second base, only to be spit on by the opposing infielder. Knowing any physical retaliation would lead to chaos, Larry, in his typical classy and dignified way, said, "My reaction was to hit the ball as far as I could." And hit the ball far is exactly what Larry Doby did. Having to learn a new position as a center fielder, he became a power at the plate. The next year, 1948, Larry Doby became the first black player to hit a home run in the World Series as the Indians beat the Boston Braves 4-2 in the best of seven classic. By 1954, Larry had grown into a true Major League Baseball superstar. Not only did he play center field, he became the centerpiece of the winningest American League team in history. That year, the Indians won 111 games in a 154-game season. During that incredible run, he played in all but one game and became the first black player to lead the league in both home runs and runs batted in. In that year's Most Valuable Player voting, Larry came in, you guessed it, second place. Many felt Larry was the most valuable player on baseball's winningest team and should have won the award. When he retired as a player, he continued to be involved in baseball. In 1978, he became again, yes, the second black manager in the major leagues. Second again to another Robinson, this one Frank. In 1998, at 75 years old, Larry Doby received baseball's highest honor when he was inducted into Cooperstown, Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. He passed away in 2003 at the age of 79. Many people would feel jaded and maybe cynical for being the second person to accomplish a great achievement. But not Larry Doby, a man who valued his community and his family, who lived a life of dignity and class, once said, "I don't mind being second, as long as I did well enough that there was a third, fourth, and fifth." And Larry Doby did just that. Achievement. Pass it on from PassItOn.com. If you enjoyed this bite-sized podcast, subscribe and pass it on to a friend. PassItOn.com, the podcast, is available wherever you listen to your podcasts.